Radio Prague News.
Jiří Paroubek has been re-elected the head of the opposition Social Democrats. The Social Democrat leader has said that his party will reject the extension of the Czech army's missions in Afghanistan. And police have broken up a neo-Nazi concert in the city of Plzeň, Western Bohemia. Jiří Paroubek was re-elected the leader of the opposition Social Democrats at a party's convention in Prague on Saturday. The former prime minister, who faced no other candidate, received 74% of votes. The three-day party congress, which concluded at Prague's Industrial Palace on Sunday, also elected four deputy chairmen, including shadow foreign minister Lubomír Zaorálek and Brno mayor Roman Onderka. The Social Democrat Party Congress, however, failed after several rounds of voting to elect a fifth deputy, who must be a woman according to the party's statutes. The remaining deputy chair will be appointed by party leadership. The Social Democrat leader Jiří Paroubek has said his party will reject the extension of the Czech army's missions in Afghanistan. Speaking at a party congress in Prague on Saturday, Mr. Paroubek said Social Democrats would abide by the results of an inner party poll in which 82% of the party's local organizations said the missions should end, while 87% of them believed that the numbers of Czech troops in NATO missions in Afghanistan should decrease radically. The Czech Republic has more than 1,000 troops participating in NATO-Afghan missions. Czech police broke up a neo-Nazi concert in the city of Plzeň, Western Bohemia, in the early hours of Sunday after one of the performers played a song with racist lyrics. About 100 riot police intervened and stopped the performance by three foreign and one Czech band, attended by some 150 far-right sympathizers. No one was wounded in the incident, while seven persons were detained on suspicions of inciting racial and ethnic hatred. In an interview for the UK paper The Sunday Times, Czech President Václav Klaus said that the Lisbon Treaty would make the European Union less democratic, it would make the decision-making process less transparent, and it would give more competences to Brussels at the expense of member states. Mr. Klaus also denied having made a comparison between the European Union and the Soviet-era system in his address to the European Parliament last month. The president said that the Czech experience with communism was valuable in that Czechs learned that where there was no opposition and no tolerance to other points of view, there was no freedom either. The lower house of the Czech parliament approved the Lisbon Treaty in February. The reform document has yet to be passed by the Senate and signed by the president. In the interview for the Sunday Times, Mr. Klaus refused to hint whether he would sign the treaty in case it is approved by the Senate. And a quick look at the weather. The first week of spring will see cloudy skies with occasional rain and high day temperatures ranging between 6 and 10 degrees Celsius. My name is Jan Richter, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Chris Johnston. Today, your letters and emails are attended to in Mailbox. After that, Jan Richter joins us with a letter from Prague dealing with his quest to get a foothold on the property ladder. And that's followed by Music Profile, which highlights the long-lasting but difficult-to-classify band Už smě doma. Stay with us for that. But first, here's Pavla Horáková with this Sunday's edition of Mailbox.
This is Mailbox, Radio Prague's weekly program for your views, comments and questions. And here's a first question from Taslim Uddin from Bangladesh, who would like to know:
how many letters and emails did your radio station receive last year?
In 2008, the English section received 7,206 letters and emails. That's including the reception report sent straight from our website. Overall, all six Radio Prague's foreign language sections received close to 21,000 letters and emails in 2008. With an audience so varied and scattered around the globe, we rely on your direct feedback to be able to improve our broadcasts, both in terms of content and technical quality. So thank you for all your emails, letters and reception reports. They are all very welcomed and appreciated. Rassem Ben Brahim from Tunisia has a question concerning sporting life in the Czech Republic.
Which football stadium in your country has the largest capacity?
The Czech Republic still sorely misses a national football stadium, and debates have been going on for many years as to whether and where to build one. At the moment, the largest football stadium is Zalužankami in the country's second city, Brno. It was built in the early 1950s and its capacity was increased to 50,000 in the 1970s. However, the last match played there took place in 2001 and the stadium is now closed and awaiting renovation. The country's second largest stadium is the Všesportovní or All Sports Stadium in Hradec Králové with 25,000 seats, and the third one is the new Slavia Prague Stadium with 21,000 seats. Muhammad Shamim from the Indian state of Kerala would like to know,
which is the national river of the Czech Republic?
I suppose we can say the Vltava running through the capital Prague can be described as the Czech national river. Its character is beautifully captured in Bedřich Smetana's symphonic poem of the same name. The Elbe or Labe in Czech, which runs through some of the most fertile areas of Bohemia, is also very important. In Moravia, it is the river Morava, bearing the same name as the land and running all the way from the north to the south, that plays the role of both a life-giving source and a patriotic symbol. And having mentioned the 19th century Czech composer Bedřich Smetana, his music caught the ear of our listener David from Canada, who tunes into Radio Prague in the wee hours of the morning.
This morning at the close of your program, rebroadcast here in Canada at 3 o'clock a.m. to 3:30 a.m., was some beautiful solo piano music. I was unable to make note of who was playing the title of the piece, its composer and CD title. I'd very much like to find this out if you could forward the information to me. I also enjoyed the story about the school in the Himalayas. Remarkable.
The piece you heard was Luisa's Polka by Bedřich Smetana. Smetana wrote it around 1840 at the age of just 17 for his distant cousin Luisa from the East Bohemian town of Nové Město nad Metují, whom he fancied at the time. And that's all we have time for today, but let me first repeat our listeners' competition question. In March, we are looking for the name of the Austrian philosopher who was born in 1859 in the Moravian town of Prostějov and died in 1938 in the German city of Freiburg. He's known as the founder of phenomenology. Please send us your answers by the end of March to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague. There will be small gifts for four of you who answer correctly. Until next week, take care, and here's a taste of Luisa's Polka by Bedřich Smetana.
Thanks, Pavla. If you've tuned in, this is Radio Prague, and I'm Chris Johnston. Now we're joined by Jan Richter, who has this week's edition of Letter from Prague.
The economic crisis is hitting hard. Every day, fresh numbers show what branch of the industry is in trouble, what exports have dropped, and how much the unemployment rate has risen again. But looking to buy real estate gives you a very different perspective on those figures. Although I'm far from enjoying the crisis, there is one particular number I really want to see as low as possible. It's the price of apartments in Prague. For the past 5 or so years, my partner Dina and I have been living in a great apartment in a 1930s building in the lovely Prague neighborhood of Holešovice. It's on the left bank of the Vltava, and the river, after cutting through the old town in Malá Strana, makes a curve around this part of Prague. Originally an ethnic German neighborhood, Holešovice is now one of Prague's most rapidly developing areas. People who are not familiar with the neighbourhood tend to think it's too far from the centre, but this couldn't be further from the truth. Getting to Old Town Square, Malastrana, and even to the Czech radio building only takes about 15 minutes by public transport. It's got shops and all that, plus it has what I consider to be the best pub in Prague by far, U Svatého Antoníčka, which is just around the corner from us. But our landlord recently told us he wanted the apartment back, so about a month ago we took a deep breath and plunged into the Prague real estate market, looking to buy a similar place in the same area. First we saw all those flats that look great in the photos provided, but have been on the market for way too long. Wonderfully looking place, third floor and nice building, but as we stood in the gorgeous living room with a bay window, I realized that the constant noise from one of the area's busiest roads would sooner or later make me kill myself, or someone else. Another great looking place with an antique tile stove seemed large enough, but was miserably dark. Only later I realized why those nice pictures we saw on the internet had been taken with a flash. A renovated 1920s flat, not far from where we live now, seemed like a great buy, until we came to check it out and saw that in the process of renovating it, the owner had turned this historic apartment into a generic flat that could be found in any building, including the ugly blocks of flats on the outskirts of the city. We met all kinds of owners, too. One of them was a military man who served in Iraq, with medals on the walls, trying to sell his huge 150-square-meter apartment with a fireplace. Some inherited these flats, lived there with their families and their children's families, and now want to get two or three smaller places further out of town. Some bought the place some time ago and now want to buy a house outside Prague. Some have places without kitchens or with kitchens in the bathroom. We even saw a flat with another flat built within to accommodate both the parents and their son's family. Having seen all the dead stock and having realized that not a single apartment we had seen had as good a layout as the one we'll soon have to leave, we are now in the process of figuring out who the architect was who designed our building and looking for other houses he built in the area. And we have made one discovery already. The man who built our current flat also designed a building that became the headquarters of the Gestapo during the war and now houses the Industry and Trade Ministry.
This week's letter from Prague was by Jan Richter. In the final chapter of our show, it's time for Music Profile with Christian Falvey, who introduces us to the progressive rock band Už smě doma.
That was Kovbojská, or Cowboy Song, off Už smě doma's 1999 LP, Ears. And it ties together the many characteristic facets of the band's music. Transition, shifting lyricism and seeming chaos, heavy, steady, steadily evolving rhythms, frenetic poetry, often including English to some extent, and melodies ranging from the dirge to the nonsensical. Ušme Doma was spawned in the town of Teplice on the German border in 1985 and took on Prague in the summer of that year, playing illegal concerts on a riverboat. It was only after several years and a surprising number of lineups that a fully evolved sound was committed to album, with one-time guest member Miroslav Vanek now at its head. This track from their first full album, In the Middle of Words, called Yeah Or, captures both the band's distinct early sound and the sound of the recording technology available to them in 1990. For what is perhaps least arguably termed a punk band, there has been a surprisingly large number of instrumental, or at least na-na, songs over Ušme Doma's history. Many focus on a powerful motif that was no doubt felt too exceptional to be medleyed with other tunes. This one, the very next track off the same LP, became famous as the signature tune to Petr Zelenka's 1998 film The Button Pushers, and is called Little Julius. Ušme Doma enjoyed a time of relative consistency in its lineup in the 1990s, with its founding member Jindra Dolanski on the saxophone and Mirek Vanek as its singer, songwriter, and chairman of the board, as he has said. Now able to actually make money off their work and travel, the group toured extensively throughout Europe and produced another 5 albums during the decade. It was also the time in which a strong bond began to emerge with the United States, with a record deal with BMG in 1993, and a tour with the Residents in 1995. And it was also in 1995 that the 5-man show added a new member, Martin Velišek, on the brushes, the painter who had defined the band's unique image and whose art was, according to Vanek, just as important to the band as its music or its lyrics. This is a part of the title track off their 1999 album Ears.
Come and meet, please, or that's a company. stále promění.
Jindra Dolanský's saxophone was considered such an intrinsic component of the group's sound that his departure from the band's grueling tour schedules in 2001 was thought to be the end of the road for Usme Doma, both by fans and some band members alike. The famously indefatigable Vanek, however, admitted nothing like defeat and melded guitar lines or vocal melodies into the missing saxophone parts. Through its 24 years of existence, Usme Doma has been relentlessly reformed again and again, and the last 8 years have been no different. So tirelessly, in fact, has Mirek Vanek kept the name of UJD afloat that what was once a band is now thought of by many as no more than the frontman's medium. Fans, however, are happy for every new concert, CD, or even pop-up book that comes their way. I'll leave you with the last track off Usme Doma's last album, Cod Liver Oil, called Stream.
That edition of Music Profile was prepared and presented by Christian Falvey, and it's all we have time for on today's programme. As ever, we welcome all your comments. Our email address is english@radio.cz, and the postal address is Vinohradska 12, 12099 Prague. We hope you can join us again soon. But for now, from me, Chris Johnston, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thanks for listening and goodbye.
Nature.